All right, y'all turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you will, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we have here. We thank you, Lord, for the words that we have here before us, that we can put our faith and trust in them and believe you mean what you say. And Father, let us not be too concerned about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with the Lockhart family as they're going through these times of trouble in their families. We ask you to bless them and to encourage them. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, most of all, we ask you to give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We've been talking about following the Apostle Paul for several weeks now, and I want to continue with that line, and maybe we can do it in a little different way. Maybe we can understand why we emphasize Paul so much, not just because that God Almighty told us to follow Paul. Listen, when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans to Philemon, you are reading the words of Almighty God. And when God told the Lord Jesus Christ to appear to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and save a rebel and call him by the grace of God, in other words, Paul verified the fact that he was called by God's grace, then Paul wrote down 13 epistles to the church, the body of Christ. There are two different groups of those people. He wrote 6 epistles to those who first trusted in Christ, and he wrote 7 epistles to people such as us that were not in the covenants of promise. Now, Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, start with me in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I believe the last days are the last days of grace. I don't believe you can make anything else out of that except grace. And when the last days are done, the body is full, then the rapture will take place. Then the Antichrist can be revealed. God will deal with Israel in the tribulation, and that tribulation, Hebrews through Revelation, is to Hebrew people that are looking toward the kingdom that will come at the second coming when the Lord returns for Israel. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is training 12 apostles to carry on a message after he is crucified and after he ascends up. Has nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. This here will match this over here. This in here will match no dispensation in your Bible. You cannot find anything in your Bible other than in Romans to Philemon about a body of believers called the church, which is his body. You can't find it anywhere else. Now watch what he said. Verse 2. For men. Now listen, these men, I believe, are preachers and teachers. Do you understand? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, what is the power in this dispensation here? in Romans 5:8.
The gospel of Christ.
Wouldn't it be the gospel of Christ? Go to, hold your place and go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now you remember, we've already read in time past that Paul certified that he did not get his gospel from men. He was not taught it, but by revelation. In other words, when the Lord appeared unto him in Acts 9, he gave him the gospel that has the power of God unto salvation until the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, God goes dealing with Israel again according to the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. And that's clear in the Bible, the King James Bible. Now, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I know what the power is. Verse 5. These men have a form of godliness. What do? They look real godly. They talk real godly. But they are denying the power that God instilled in the Apostle Paul to teach to men, to teach other men. Well, I'll tell you what, Duke, turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, well, he's talking to Timothy, the preacher. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. These men, verse 2, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort, those that are denying the power, what are they saying? Well, they're saying you can be saved by the gospel that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you cannot do that. You cannot be saved by any of the gospels that the 12 preached. Those 12 did not preach the grace of God for salvation. They preached works. Take two passages. Take Titus chapter 3. Take Acts chapter 10. Titus chapter 3. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter has been sent to Cornelius. Cornelius is an Italian. The only reason that Peter went to Cornelius was because God Almighty showed him a vision and told him to go over to Cornelius. Because Cornelius was in the covenants of promise, he blessed the seed of Abraham. So Peter reluctantly went to him. And when Peter got there, look what in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. In other words, Peter went into Cornelius' house and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. Did Peter believe the Lord?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think Peter would have remembered what the Lord told him in Mark chapter 16? Y'all know what he told Peter in Mark 16? Hold your place and go to Mark 16. This is denying the power that was given to the Apostle Paul. If you run up on a preacher that's preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in this dispensation here, he is denying the power thereof. He has turned from the truth. Now, watch what he said, Mark 16, verse 14. Now, this is after Jesus Christ had been crucified. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with the unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, now listen. Is Cornelius one of God's creatures? Well, why is Peter... Hold your place and flip back to Acts 10. Verse 28, he said unto them, you know that it's an unlawful thing for a Jew to keep company and come into one of another nation. Did Peter say that? Well, go back to Mark 16. Verse 15, he said unto them, Peter would be included, wouldn't he? Isn't Peter one of the apostles? Well, he's talking to the apostles, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, Peter, have you lost your mind? Did you tell Cornelius it's an unlawful thing for Judah to come into one of another nation? Beloved, Peter wouldn't have come to this class here and taught this class. You know why? Peter was not sent to the Gentiles. You know who Peter was sent to? Israel. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Hold up Acts. Go to Matthew 10. This is before the death of Christ. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, any city of Samaritans, any not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Did Peter know where he was supposed to go? Well, why? Go back to Acts 10 now. Verse 28. Peter talking to Cornelius and those that are in Cornelius' house. And he said unto them, you know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come in one of another nation. But Jesus showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, if y'all just sat there and let me do that, and you ain't even opened your mouth. Who told Peter, did Jesus Christ tell Peter in Mark 16 that he could go to people such as Cornelius? Did he? He said, go to what? Every creature. Beloved, something changed. Look what he said here. But God hath showed me. How did God show Peter that it was all right to go to Cornelius? Because Cornelius is in the covenants of promise. Beloved, I hope you understand when Paul wrote the first six epistles that he wrote to those Jews and Gentiles, he wrote to Gentiles that are in the covenants of promise. But not so with people such as us. So in this latter time of Paul's writing, he said men are going to depart from the faith. What are they doing? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are they doctrines of devils doing? They are preaching this here as the same as this over here. And the two groups of people are not the same. And you don't have too many grace preachers anymore that will stand up for that truth anymore. You know why? It don't draw big crowds. And it don't make you very popular among the brethren. Now, look what Peter tells Cornelius and his bunch that God showed him. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of the world, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. No, it didn't say that. Sent unto who? Israel. Israel feared God, worked righteousness all their life. Feared God, worked righteousness. You understand? These in here, what did they do?
Believe.
Those that Paul first wrote to, those who first trusted in Christ, what did they do?
Believe.
They feared God and worked righteousness. How do I know that? Go to Acts and take Acts chapter. Give me just a minute here. 22, I believe it is. Give me a minute. That ain't where I want to go. I'll find it. Y'all just hang in there a minute. We back up in Paul's early ministry. I didn't have this reference for him. Go to chapter 13. Let's do it there. Acts 13. Now this is right after Paul and Barnabas had been sent forth by the Holy Spirit. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Well, that would be the Hebrew people. You understand? The Jews. And whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, beloved, I cannot. Now listen to me. If I do what some of the grace preachers are doing today, and I tell you that the Ephesians 1:13 are the same as the Ephesians 1:12, I'm making God out a liar. You understand? Where was Israel when you were born?
Lo-Amni.
Well, how are you going to fear the God of Abraham and bless the seed of Abraham if God ain't dealing with the seed of Abraham when you were born? Can you? You can't. Well, I would be a crook to put the Ephesians 1:13 in the same group with Ephesians 1:12. Look what he said here, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you. Do you know who the you is? The children of Abraham, those that fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because they're in the covenants of promise. The same as Peter when he went to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He's in the covenants of promise. So God sent Peter to Cornelius. Peter did not want to go until the Lord let that sheet down and told him not to call anything common or unclean. In other words, he called Cornelius an uncommon, unclean dog. Do you know that's what Gentiles were called? Were dogs? Now, go back to Titus. Take Titus chapter 3. Acts chapter 10 again. Acts 10. I want you to see it. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respect of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, what word? Fear God and work righteousness. That word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And he goes on to talk about he resurrected the Lord. Now, go to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appears, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Go to chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Well, where is the ungodliness at today? It's in the church that is refusing to preach Paul's epistles rightly divided. And that brings ungodliness. Why? Because God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, what is the knowledge of the truth? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to Ephesians. Let's look at this. What is the knowledge of truth that God would have you come unto? I mean, you know you've got to understand that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for your sins. If you don't understand that, how in the world? Paul said, how can they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, the 12 was not sent to preach that. Paul was sent to preach the gospel of Christ. To who? The Jew and the Gentile that first trusted in Christ. After that, he was sent to Gentiles such as us that were not in the covenants of promise, that we also have grace through his death at Calvary, which was a mystery hid in God. What is the coming unto the knowledge of the truth? Come on, talk to me. Somebody help me here. I'm struggling. Let's see if we can find out what the Bible says about coming unto the knowledge of the truth. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Now that's both groups of people. He is our peace. Us. All of us. Both groups of people. That's very important. Verse 14. He is our peace, who hath made both one. These right here, those who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. Those that first trusted, Jew and Gentile. In the book of Acts, everywhere Paul went, he went into the synagogue. In other words, he went into the synagogue. In the synagogue, he found those that we read about in Acts 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And I cannot say unto us over here. You understand? That word was not sent to me. That word was sent to those that were in the covenants of promise of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God said, Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed, and I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. Here's some people over here, such as us, that had no way to get to God. We had no hope. We were without God. We were not allied with Israel. And when you were born, Israel was low Ammonite, and there was no Israel for you to align up to, nor get into their promises. And don't let somebody take you to Galatians and tell you, if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Because Paul said in Ephesians 2, look at Ephesians 2. Back up to verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12. That at that time you without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Beloved, if Paul had left having no hope out of there, maybe I could somehow or another show you that you had a hope according to the Old Testament scriptures. But being Paul put the term in there, now listen to me, them's God's words. You understand? Through the Apostle Paul. Listen, when you sit down and read a 1611 King James Bible, you are reading God's Word. It's as if God is talking to you when you read it. You hear what the Word says. In John 6, verse 63, Jesus Christ said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. In John 4:24, God is a spirit. So when you read God's Word, you're reading the Spirit-filled Word of Almighty God spoken through different writers. Paul wrote 13 epistles to the church, the body of Christ, and he cautioned us and warned us that in the last days, people are going to depart from this faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of the devils. And if you think he ain't very serious about it, hold what you got here and go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I have to stop and let my mind catch up. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. Now this ain't just a suggestion or idle words. He said, we command you. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after traditions which you received of us. You know what he's talking about in the context? He's talking about working. Why would he write to these people and tell them, you got some of the brothers? Now listen, you don't call everybody you see your brother in the Lord. Only those that have trusted Christ as their Savior would Paul reference as a brother in the Lord. You understand? So what were some of those people doing when Paul wrote that commandment? Look what he says here. Let's read a little further. Maybe we need to read a little further here. Verse 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, you know what? That goes out. United States welfare system right down the tube. We got people that our welfare system is supporting that don't work, never have worked, and don't intend to work. You know why? There's no incentive to work. But all they got to do is sit and wait for the mailman once a month. Bring the check to them. There's no incentive to get up and go to work. Now, if they took the welfare away from them, maybe they'd say, you know, I'm going to get up and get me a job. I'm going to starve to death if I don't go to work. I don't agree with this, with all this giveaway mess myself. Not unless you deserve it. Now, those people, Paul did not say if he can't work. Paul said if a man won't work. Why would he say this to these people? Wouldn't these people have been allied with Israel, as we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 26? Wouldn't they have known the teachings of the Lord and the 12 back here? Well, let's look at some of the teachings about this. Hold Ephesians and go to Luke chapter 12. Go to Luke chapter 12. Paul says if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Now listen, I'm trying to show you why we emphasize following Paul versus following Jesus or one of the 12. Because I know a man that's got paper company, and I won't call his name, but his son got caught up in this religious stuff, and they moved out into the west out there and up on top of a mountain, waiting on the Lord to come take them out of here, and it never happened, and he come home with his tail between his legs like an old dog does, you know, when he gets whooped, he'll come home real sheepish-like, and had to move in with daddy. You know why? He got caught up in false doctrine. And Paul told us, even a brother. Now watch what he says there in Luke chapter 12. Go with me to verse 22. And he said unto his disciples. Who is he talking to? Are there any disciples in here? Beloved, you can't be a disciple. You know why? You got to forsake everything you got. You got to sell everything you got. Bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet. Distribution is made to all men. And that's what that group of people did. They sold out everything they had and moved out there on the mountain waiting on the Lord to come, and he never did come get them. Now, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you should put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O you of little faith? And seek ye not what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and let's see if we can identify these people that do this. Matthew chapter 6. Start in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls are there, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is in and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Well, my wife asks me over and over sometimes, what do we want to eat for dinner today? Do any of y'all take thought for this stuff?
Of course.
Any of y'all got a job? Why you got a job? If you're going to follow Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, quit your job. That's what he told them. You cannot love the Lord and mammon both. Either you love the one, hate the other. Now watch what he says here. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That will match what you read in Luke chapter 12. Those people that seek this are Gentiles. He's telling the Jews, beloved, I hope you understand that Jesus Christ ain't talking to Gentiles in Matthew 6 and Luke 12. Don't get caught up in this mess in the latter times over here. Men departing from the faith. Now watch what he said. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what is his righteousness in the kingdom message? We read it in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Feareth God and worketh righteousness. Do you know what one of the works of righteousness is? Well, I'm startled. I can't talk right at the same time. Water baptism, would that be a work of righteousness? Jesus Christ told them, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom. So water baptism would be a work of righteousness. What would be another one? Repentance for remission of sins. Work, fear God, work righteousness. Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we've done. And anybody teach you any other thing, let it go. Don't pay no attention to it. Now, there's a key right here in verse 33 that ought to trigger something in your mind. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. When will they see the kingdom of God? At the second coming over here, after the tribulation, after the rapture of the church, the body is full. We go out in the last days. We know it's going to be some perilous times. Men are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What are they doing? They're forbidding to marry. Commanded to abstain from meat. Y'all know anybody that does that? Y'all know any? Listen, I didn't go to no Catholic school. I went to Murphy High School. We didn't have no cafeteria in Lion Golf. I went to grammar school at Lion Golf. If you didn't take your lunch, you didn't eat. When I went to Murphy, they had a cafeteria. On Friday, they wouldn't serve pork chops or nothing. They would on Thursday, but not on Friday. You know why? We had some Catholic kids that went there, and that would be offensive to them. I wouldn't give a flip. You know why? I think they're an offensive to me. I think they're an offense to me. Saying that, oh, you eating meat on Friday? Well, who says I can't? What did God tell me about that?
Fish.
But wait a minute. Now back here, would it have been all right for them to eat meat on Friday back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Would it? I'll tell you what, dude. Hold Ephesians. We got a minute or two. Hold Ephesians and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Take Colossians chapter 2 with the other hand. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. There is one God. How many gods are there? Well, what if you see somebody bowing down to a Buddha. Do you think that's his God?
He thinks it is.
Do you think that that is his God?
No.
Now, he may think it's his God, but do you think that's his God? How many gods are there?
One.
God the creator of heaven and earth. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Son, and they are one. Now, one mediator. What if you see somebody bowing down, praying to a statue of Mary? Because Mary has more pull with God than Jesus has. Now, I've been told that by Catholics, that that's what they claim. How many mediators is there between God and men? Who is that? The man. Christ Jesus. Did God say that one mediator between God and men? The man, Christ Jesus. Did he say sometimes maybe Mary can intercede? No, he did not. Well, you got a whole boogie religious system in the world that believes they can pray through Mary to get to God. Can they? No, they can't. You know why? She's a low-down sinner, and boy, they don't like it. She's a sinner just like the rest of us. She needed a Savior, same as us. This man, Jesus Christ, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Did Buddha give himself a ransom for anybody? Did Mary give herself a ransom for anybody? No, she did not. The knowledge of the truth, beloved, there are people that don't know this. There are pastors and teachers that are scared to preach it because they don't want the repercussions that come from it. Well, I don't care. I ain't got an answer to them. I got an answer for myself to the Lord. So have you. So you make up your own mind about this. If you're going to believe God, believe Him. If you ain't, just don't come back no more. Just might as well quit. Because I simply believe we need to believe what God says. And if you can't believe what God says, just go on about your business and leave me alone. I don't care. That's just why I'm too old to give a flip. Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, is it due time for somebody to be telling somebody? And listen, you're bowing down to this piece of wood over here, or this piece of marble over here, or this piece of concrete over here, and it can't even move itself. And you calling that a God? You got to be kidding me. Somebody needs to get to these people. Now go to Colossians chapter 2. Now, God wants you to come under the knowledge of the truth, huh? And I want to know Matthew 6 and Luke 12. God, what do you say about that? Now, that's what he says in Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to verse... I'm going to read verse 6, and then I'm going to skip down. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Christ? By works of righteousness? No, he said not by works of righteousness, but by His grace. So, all right, so I know how I received Christ, by grace. Now come down to verse 10, and you're complete in Him. I'm complete in who? Well, beloved, I don't need to stand in no line somewhere where some nut with a back of collar on has got a bowl full of crackers and tell me that when I take that, I'm taking Christ. That ain't nothing but a cracker. You understand? Episcopalians, I know for a fact. I've been there. I've seen them. They take that wafer and they do the same thing. You don't know what a Episcopalian is, don't you?
Episcopalian.
Sleep.
Pissed off cat. That's all, they do the same identical thing.
They take that wafer and they hold it up and they say that they're transferring that wafer into the body of Christ. And when they get through talking and whatever they're saying, it's still a cracker. You understand? It's a cracker. The only way you can have Christ in you is through the message that was committed to Paul. You cannot get Christ in you through the message committed to the 12. You get Christ in you by trusting that when Christ died at Calvary, you were baptized into His death by trusting that, and you were resurrected with Him. You understand? Now that's important, with Him. And next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to show you what it means to be with Him in Him. Unless something else happens, which I ain't got no control over. Now watch what he says here, Colossians 2, verse 10. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, when Christ died at Calvary, He was circumcised of His flesh. He became sin. God made Him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that ain't got nothing to do with none of your works. Your works will go to the judgment seat of Christ, and you will put your works on the fire, and the fire will try what your works are, but your sins will never come up again. They were brought up at Calvary on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what he says here. Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. That is spiritual baptism. Ain't got nothing to do with water. Wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Are we risen with Him? We sure are. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise God for that verse. Praise God that I know that my trespasses that I'm going to commit today and tomorrow or the next week, God don't see them. They were put on Christ at Calvary. All of my trespasses were in the future when He died. He died in AD 33, and I wasn't born till 35. So when He died, all of my sins were in the future. Now, because of all of that, look what we have. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Are we under any ordinance? Well, why would you go to a church that put you under ordinances? This do in remembrance of me. That is that an ordinance? Did Paul deliver the Lord's Supper to those who first trusted in Christ? Well, did God just tell you that He blotted out the ordinances for us? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. You don't let anybody judge in meat? Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but maybe you know where it's at. What, did Paul ever let anybody judge him in meat?
Yeah. In the mission.
He sure did. Those who first trusted in Christ, Paul said, I'll eat no meat if it offends my brother. So that's the difference between those who first trusted in whom ye also trust. You can't link them all together. If you do, you're going to build up problems. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took us out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Did He nail the ordinances to His cross? Well, did He nail eating of meat to the cross? He sure did. Watch what he says here. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of the holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Well, what is the Sabbath day?
Saturday.
The seventh, according to our calendar, if you started at Sunday, the first day, seventh day later is Saturday, ain't it? Well, we all start meeting on Saturday.
Okay.
Only the Seventh-day Adventists have that right, if you can call it right, because we don't know when our calendar started nowhere. But you know what? Every day belongs to the Lord. Every day. Not just one day. Every day. Verse 16 again. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or the new moons or the Sabbath day. By the way, do y'all know where you find out where Paul was talking about he wouldn't let eat no meat as long as it offended his brother? You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, what about the Sabbath days? Any of y'all scared to go fishing on Sunday? I know a lot of people that were. Still are. You know what the Sabbath day was? Go to Exodus 31. Ordinance. Take Matthew chapter 15. Exodus 31, Matthew 15. I'll look at Exodus 31. Verse 12, Exodus 31, verse 12. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Well, I know who the children of Israel are. I know who Moses is talking to. Verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doeth sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If we have a Sabbath day, then we ain't got graveyards enough to hold the people that ought to be stoned to death for transgressing the Sabbath day. It's a sign, isn't it? Ain't that what he said? Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath therefore, and holy unto you, everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. But whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Any of y'all leave church on Sunday and go out to eat anywhere? Huh?
Of course.
Do y'all call somebody to work?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing? You're damning their soul. You're causing them people to break the Sabbath day. Why? Did it say if you do that? Look what he said here. Verse 15. 6 days may we work be done, but then the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work. So if you call somebody to have to wait on you, cook back there in the hot kitchen cooking your meal, what's he doing? He's defiled the Sabbath day. What are you supposed to do? Put him to death. Verse 17, it was a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now go to Matthew chapter 15. Now let me show you something about what Paul's talking about to the Colossians over there. In Matthew 15, verse 1, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he said and answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Well, is a tradition of the church honorable today? No, it ain't. And you know, I don't give a flip what denomination it is. Every church has got traditions in them, isn't it? That they do over and over and over. Over and over and over. Verse 7, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. One last thing. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, Paul is very cautious about what he's telling Timothy here. Verse 6, For of this sort, those that deny the power, for of this sort are they, these men, which crept into houses, led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these men also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. Now I'm going to stop for a minute here now. I'm comment on that verse right there. In other words, Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did signs and wonders back there. They did 10 of them. The magicians went in there and they did the same thing. But they got to a point the magicians could not do any more signs and wonders and miracles. So Moses is what he's telling you. There's these people here, their folly was made known to all the men around there that saw all of this. So how are men being shown the folly, if you please let me use that word, of the corruptness that's going on in Paul's epistles today? By somebody that'll preach the truth. You understand? And when you do that, people don't like you. Now watch what he says here. Verse 8, Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. What? Men. These men of corrupt minds. Reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. These men of corrupt minds. For their folly shall be made unto all men, as theirs also was, as those in Moses' day. So somebody's got to carry the ball that Paul told Timothy to commit this to faithful men, who shall be faithful not to men, but to God. You understand? And he uses the terminology of a soldier. A soldier has to be faithful. Now verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Well, what was Paul's doctrine? It's the gospel of Christ. That Christ died for our sins. And us over here, that message was hid in God, not in the scriptures. Manner of life. Do y'all know what Paul's manner of life was? I got a half a minute. I'm going to have to show you this. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. Paul's giving his account before King Agrippa of what happened in Acts chapter 9. In verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth was, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. Do y'all know what Paul said about that in Philippians chapter 3? Counted it but dumb. In other words, you might have come up in a religious church or a religious system, but once you come to the knowledge of the truth, you got to make up your mind, that which I have back here ain't right, so I just count it but dumb, and I press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Good to see you. Appreciate you being here.